Amen. All right, well, we're there in Luke chapter number 5. And this morning I'm preaching on the subject of launch out into the deep. And I get this idea from this story here in Luke chapter number 5, the beginning of the chapter. And I want you to notice the Bible says there in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him," and this, of course, Jesus, "to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little." And I'd like you to notice those words there. He says he would like him to thrust out a little from the land. "And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." And of course, this is Jesus having crowds follow him, and they want to hear from him. The Bible says the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, and he is actually using, because the crowd is so large for him to be able to speak to, he gets on this ship that actually belongs to Peter, Simon Peter, and he asks him to thrust out a little from the land. And what Jesus is doing is he's having the crowd there gather around the shore, and he's sitting on a ship that has now gone out into the lake a little bit. He's using the water as a way to be able to amplify his voice in order to be able to speak to these multitudes, and he preaches to them and he ministers to them. But I want you to notice there in verse number 4, then he says this when he's done with his sermon. He says this to Peter. He says, "Now when," the Bible says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon," and I want you to notice these words, he says, "launch out into the deep." Launch out into the deep. And I believe that this is what God is calling all of us to do. Here Jesus is using, is kind of using this story, using these circumstances to teach Peter and the disciples a lesson. And he's calling them to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft, is what the Bible says. Now, the lesson or the application, the reason that Jesus is doing this is because he's going to teach Peter a lesson. And I want you to look down at verse number 10, and we're going to walk through this passage this morning, but I'd like you to look down at verse number 10 so you can understand what he's talking about. In verse 10, at the end of the story, when it's all said and done, the Bible says this, "And so was also James the son of and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon," and he says to us, he says, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And the reason for the story, the reason for this these circumstances, is for Jesus to teach them about how we are to catch men, how we are to reach people with the gospel. And he says, "I want you, Peter, to launch out into the deep." Now, let me just say this. I'm going to give you several thoughts this morning, and I'd encourage you to write them down on the back of your course of the week. There's a place for you to take notes, and I'd love for you to write these statements down. But let me just say this. A way that we can explain this, or apply this, I should say, to our lives, is this idea that there are some who are serving Jesus, and they have thrust out a little from the land. And then there are others who Jesus is calling to launch out into the deep. And whenever I read the story, I think of the you know, this is the difference between a kid maybe who doesn't know how to swim, or maybe is learning to swim, and you know, and it's completely understandable that they would stay if they were in a pool on the shallow end of the pool. In fact, as parents, that's where we would want our kids that are maybe aren't as good with swimming, or maybe they're using floaties or whatever, to be on the shallow end of the pool. But there comes a time when the kids get old enough, their swimming gets good enough, and they're ready to kind of launch out into the deep. They're ready to go out into the deep side of the pool. And this is the illustration that Jesus is really using, is that there comes a time when it's time for us to just get serious and to quit playing on the shallow end of the pool and to launch out into the deep. Now, this can be applied several ways for individuals. And of course, I want you to apply it to yourself as an individual. For you, it may mean that God is calling you. For many Christians, you know, they get involved, they get saved, they get involved in a church like this, and they kind of get their feet wet. And of course, we want to give you time to get your feet wet. And you kind of, you know, are playing and you're splattering on the shallow end of the pool. But you know, God may be calling you to launch out into the deep. Now, that may look different or be different for all of us, you know, but for some of you, it may mean, you say, what does launching out to the deep mean? Well, I don't know what it means in your life, but I can say this. For some of you, it may mean it's time to get out soul winning. You know, you've been enjoying this type of church and you've been enjoying this type of preaching and we've been ministering to you and we're happy to do it. But maybe it's time for you to go from being ministered unto and becoming a minister. It's time to launch out into the deep and get out there to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Launching out into the deep might be taking a step of faith, and we'll be talking about that this morning. Maybe it means becoming a biblical tither by conviction. Maybe it means that you take that step and you make that commitment and you become a member of Verity Baptist Church and you get involved and you bring your energy and your investment of time and treasure and talent into this ministry. Maybe it's a sin that God is dealing with. Maybe for some people launching out into the deep, maybe they've been thinking about and struggling with the idea of maybe pulling their kids out of the public school and taking the step of homeschooling them for the glory of God. Maybe that's what it means to launch out deep. For others, it might be maybe the Lord has been burdening you that it's time for your wife to stay home and be a homemaker. Like the Bible says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to be reproachful. And that's a step of faith you need to take, and it's time to launch out into the deep. And here's what I'm telling you. I'm not going to apply in your life or allow the Holy Spirit to do that, but I know this. God is calling all of us to launch out into the deep. We begin by thrusting out a little from the land, but he wants us to launch out into the deep. As a church, I believe that God is calling us to launch out into the deep, to do more, to accomplish more, to be busy in the work of catching men for the glory of God. So I want to speak to you on the subject of launching out into the deep. And I want to speak to you, though, and give you some thoughts of what it means or how we must do it if we're going to do it. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, man, that sounds good to me. I want to launch out into the deep. I want to trust God and I want believing in faith that God can use us and do something great for us. But please understand, if you're going to launch out into the deep, if I'm going to launch out into the deep, if corporately as a church we're going to say, hey, we're done thrusting out a little from the land and we're going to do something big for God, we're going to accomplish something big for God, it's going to require us to understand that there's some things, if we're going to launch out into the deep, there's some things that we need to realize that come along with that. And I want to give these to you this morning and I'd love for you to write these down. Number one, if you would, we must launch out into the deep. But if we will launch out into the deep, realize this, that we will do it only by allowing ourselves to be inconvenienced by Christ. The only way for you to take that step, for you to launch out into the deep, is to allow yourself to be inconvenienced by Christ. You're there in Luke chapter 5, look down at verse number 2. Notice what the Bible says. And saw, and this is of course Jesus, he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them. The fishermen were not on their ships and were, notice, washing their nets. Now these fishermen were not fishermen that were doing this as a hobby or for enjoyment. They were doing this as their business. This was their job. They weren't out there with a rod catching fish. They had nets that they were using to catch fish, and they were doing this as how they provided for their family. This is how they met their financial needs. Notice verse number 3. And he entered into the ship, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And I want you to notice, this is how it always begins with Jesus. Jesus will always ask you to do something. He will always ask you to take a step. He will always ask you to do a little bit. And we try to follow this in our ministry. You know, when sometimes when people, they get afraid to say, you want me to go out soul winning and talk to somebody at their door, some stranger I've never even met, and open up the Bible and preach the word of God to them? And I'll look at a new person and say, no, we don't want you to do that at all. You say, well, what do you want me to do? Man, we'd like you to just come and be a silent partner. Just allow somebody else to do all those things that you're afraid of. And you just be there. Can you just stand there with a smile on your face? Can you just stand there and listen and learn and silently pray in your mind and your heart? You know, Jesus never asks you to just take some huge leap without first asking you just thrust out a little from the land. And that may be where you're at. Maybe your step this morning is just to thrust out a little from the land. But I want you to understand this. Eventually, always comes the question, always comes the request to launch out into the deep. Notice verse 4. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. Keep in mind, these guys, they've been working all night. They've already been out fishing. They're done fishing. They're off the ship. mending their nets, because as they're using their nets, this is a tool of their trade, as they're using their nets to catch fish, they get broken, they need repair, so they're mending their nets, they're washing their nets, and Jesus comes along, and he says, hey Peter, I know you've been working all night long, I know you're ready to go home, I know I'm asking you to do something on your time off now, but can you do me a favor, can you launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft? Notice verse number 5. And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. He says, Jesus, we've already been fishing all night long, and we have taken nothing. And here's what I want you to understand, that when we choose, when the call comes to launch out into the deep, and when if we choose to follow that call, please realize this, it will not happen without you being inconvenienced. Keep your place there in the book of Luke, if you would. That's our text for this morning. And go up into the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. If you open up your Bible just right in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms, Psalm 24. And I want you to get an idea of this story. I mean, imagine if you just bought a boat. You bought a boat, you go and pick it up, you hitch it to the back of your vehicle, to your truck, and you take it out to the lake. You back it up into the water, and you unhitch it, and you... I don't know. I don't have a boat. I don't know how that works. You tie it up to the dock, or you do whatever you do to secure it, and you close your hitch, and you get in your truck, and you drive back to the parking spot, and you hike back down to your boat that you just purchased that you're going to enjoy, and there's a man sitting there. Oh, hello. What are you doing? I mean, this is really what happened in the story. Here we have Peter and James and John, who own two boats that they use for business. They're off the boats. They're mending their nets. They're washing their nets. And all of a sudden, they look up, and there's a guy on their boat, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he begins to say, ask them, will you thrust out a little? And they say, sure, we'll thrust out a little. And after they thrust out a little for a little while, then he says, will you launch out into the deep? And then he says, will you let down your nets? And Peter and James and John must be wondering, to think to themselves, this guy's kind of asking for a lot now. This guy's starting to become a little bit of an inconvenience now. This guy's, you know, he gets on our boat. He wants us to use our time. He wants us to use our nets. Do you know that Jesus never went anywhere where he did not belong? You know that Jesus never made a request that was too much for him to ask? You know that Jesus never really asked anything of anyone that we should really feel like we were inconvenienced? Are you there in Psalm 24? Look down at verse number 1. Psalm 24 and verse 1. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, the earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You know what that means? That means that everything on earth belongs to God, and everything in earth, he says, the earth itself is the Lord's, and everything that the earth is full of, that belongs to the Lord too. He says, the earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, the world, notice this, don't miss it, and they that dwell therein. You know the Bible says that the earth belongs to God, everything on planet earth belongs to God, and everyone who inhabits planet earth, all that dwell therein, belong to God. You know you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah, you belong. You say, oh, because I'm saved. No, even before you were saved, he is the creator. You are the creature. The Bible says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. See, the truth is this, that no request from Jesus is too much of an inconvenience. No request from Jesus is him asking for too much. But in my life and in your life, we have the tendency to think that, no, this boat belongs to me. And these nets belong to me. And this life belongs to me. And here's all you got to understand. If you ever launch out into the deep at the request of Christ, and you say, I'm starting to feel a little inconvenienced, well, join the club. That's normal. Actually, that's the point. See, Pastor Mendez, I'm here on a Sunday morning, and I'm glad to be here, and I appreciate it. But, you know, we show up here on a Sunday morning. We get up early on our day off and get our kids dressed and get dressed and, you know, take my weekly shower or whatever you do. And, you know, I brush my hair and I show up to church on Sunday morning just for you to ask me to come back on Sunday night. And then I come back on Sunday night and you ask us to come back on Wednesday night. And then I come back on Wednesday night and you ask us to come back on Saturday for soul winning. And we come back on Saturday for soul winning. And you ask us to serve and to get involved in some sort of ministry. And I'm starting to feel a little inconvenience. Well, here's the thing. As soon as you start feeling inconvenience, realize that you are now actually serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no request, there is no question, there is no inconvenience, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all that dwell therein belong to Him. So if we ever launch out into the deep, if you ever launch out into the deep, if I ever launch out into the deep, if Very Baptist Church ever by faith chooses to launch out into the deep, we will do it being inconvenienced. We must launch out into the deep by being inconvenienced by the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice the second thing this morning. If you go back to Luke chapter number 5, not only must we launch out into the deep by being inconvenienced by Christ, but secondly this morning, we must launch out into the deep in spite of the naysayers. You know, there's always somebody trying to tell you why you can't do something. There's always somebody trying to tell you why you can't get something done. And in Luke chapter 5, we find the story. Jesus looks at Peter. He says, Peter, I want you to launch out into the deep, and I want you to let down the nets for a draft. Notice the response from Peter, verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. He says, Master, you don't understand. And by the way, what Jesus was asking was a huge inconvenience. No, I want you to notice the word that Peter uses there. He says, we have toiled. We have toiled. He says, we have been working. He says, we've been working all night long. Don't you understand? We were out there just relaxing all night on these boats. We were out there working. We have been toiling. And now you're asking us to do it again. And again, this goes with the idea. When you serve God, you will serve God at your inconvenience. We have toiled all night. Just earlier this week, we were having a conversation. My wife and I were having a conversation with somebody. We're talking about ministry and church work. Let me tell you something. You know, ministry is a lot of work. The Bible says this, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. You know, and the truth is this, you know, you can, if you want to have an easy life, look, if you want to have an easy ministry, if you don't want the crib to get dirty, don't put an ox in it. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, the Bible says, but much increase cometh by the ox. And the truth is this, that in ministry, there's a lot of work. There's a lot of work that goes into gathering people. There's a lot of work that goes into mobilizing people. There's a lot of work that goes into motivating people. And look, this is true in any area of life. You want to have a clean house? That's fine. Don't have any kids. You have a real clean house. But you know, the blessing that God gives you with those children is worth the mess of the children. It's worth the mess of the inconvenience. And you know what? The blessing that God gives us by bringing new baby Christians into this church and discipling them and helping them grow and answering their questions and spending time with them and taking the time to instruct them and help them and counsel them and grow them. Hey, you say that's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, but it's worth it because there's much increase in the ox. Because the work that gets accomplished, the work that gets done is worth it. And Peter says, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. And this is Peter very kindly saying to Jesus, Jesus, here's the thing. You don't know what you're talking about. And in Peter's defense, you know, I don't want to beat up on Peter too much. In Peter's defense, logically speaking, he was right. You're there in Luke chapter 5, keep your place there. Just go back one book to the book of Mark, if you would, Mark chapter 6. And I want you to consider this. Peter was a full-time fisherman. I mean, he was a professional fisherman. He was a fisherman by trade. This is what he did. This is how he put food on the table. This is how he paid his bills. This is how he supplied the needs for his family. There's a reason why he was out on the Lake of Gennesaret all night long. And the reason for that, and you know, even fishermen today will tell us that, you know, sometimes when you go out fishing at night, it's going to be better for you than going out during the day. And look, Peter did this for a living. He was the expert. And in Peter's defense, Jesus was not a fisherman. Mark chapter 6, are you there? Notice what the Bible says about Jesus. And this says this in multiple places, but I'll just show you one example. This is what they said about Jesus. They said, is not this the carpenter? See, Jesus was not a fisherman by trade. You know what Jesus was? Jesus was a carpenter by trade. In other places, we're told he's the son of the carpenter. And Joseph had trained Jesus and taught Jesus to be a carpenter. And by the way, let me say this. moms and dads, does a good job to make sure that as your kids are getting older, that you have them turn off the stinking Nintendo or whatever it is the kids are playing nowadays, and teach them to work and teach them a trade. You know, teach them to work with their hands. And look, let me just say this. Don't have your kids go, oh, they're 16 or 17 years old. I'm going to go work at McDonald's. Or I'm going to go work at some fast food restaurant. Hey, unless they're going to go up the chain, you know, I know at In-N-Out you can become a manager and you can become, whatever, and make good money. Unless you're going to go out and own those places, hey, why don't you teach your kids a trade? Teach them something to do that they will actually be able. And that's what Joseph did. He taught Jesus to be a carpenter. Notice, he says this in Mark 6:3. He says, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and of Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. So I want you to notice that Jesus is a carpenter. He's a carpenter by trade. Here comes Jesus, the carpenter, walking up to Peter, the fisherman, and saying, let me tell you how to do your job. Go launch out into the deep. Put out a net down. And Peter was looking at the situation saying, let me tell you something. Jesus, Rabbi, with all due respect, we toiled all the night and have taken nothing. We toiled all the night and have not accomplished anything. And look, people are always trying to tell you why you can't accomplish something. Jesus says, launch out of the deep. And Peter's saying, that's going to be a waste of time. Go to the book of 1 Samuel, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. If you find the 1 and 2 books, they're all clustered together. 1 2 Samuel, 1 2 Kings, 1 2 Chronicles. 1 Samuel chapter 14. As I travel the country, I often will have good, godly, well-intentioned people, tell me negative things about the state of California, right? And I love those people. And if you're watching online and you've done this, I'm not mad at you. I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just using this as an illustration. But people, they think they're giving me a compliment, right? I'll go travel in different churches or whatever. And people walk up to me and say, man, we were going to move to Verity Baptist Church if it wasn't in California. I mean, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that. We would have moved to Verity Baptist Church if it wasn't in California. And they think they're paying me a compliment. And their heart's in the right place. And I get it. I understand it. People are always telling me why, California is so bad. And California is this. And California is that. And here's the thing. I talk bad about California, too. It's kind of like you'll see siblings. Older brothers will pick on younger brothers. But then as soon as somebody else starts picking on younger brother, you're like, wait a minute. I'll talk smack about California all day long, but somebody else starts talking about smack about California. I'm like, hey, that's where I live, And people will say this, but what I've noticed is sometimes when people say these things enough to me, and it starts kind of creeping into my mind, I start thinking to myself, man, maybe we can't get it done in California. Maybe California is too far gone. Man, there's just too many reprobates and too many sodomites and too many liberals. But what I always have to go back and tell myself, don't allow people to tell you what you cannot do. You can't build a fundamental Baptist church. You can't preach hard. You can't do it. Not in California. Maybe somewhere else, but you can't do it in California. Listen to me. There's always somebody trying to tell you why you cannot get it done. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's homeschooling your children. It doesn't matter if it's having a Christ-honoring marriage where the husband fulfills the role of a husband based on Scripture and the wife fulfills the role of a wife based on Scripture. People are always going to tell you why you can't do it, why it cannot be done, why it cannot be done, why you can't do it. Let me tell you something. The Bible says with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. The Bible says is anything too hard for the Lord? People always try to tell you why they cannot get it done. And you know what we should say? What we should respond? I love the response here in the story. In 1 Samuel 14, we have a story of Jonathan who's getting ready to go into battle. And Saul is leading this charge. And there are all these soldiers on the other side. A huge multitude of Philistines and a small group of Israelites. And they're all defeated already in their minds. They've already said, we can't do this. We can't get it done. I love the response from Jonathan in 1 Samuel 14 and verse 6, the Bible says this, and Jonathan, 1 Samuel 14 and verse 6, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be. I love those words. it may be that the Lord will work for us. See, the truth is this, I don't know that the Lord will work for us. And we should be careful about being presumptuous about what the Lord will do. But you know what we can say? We can say this, it may be that the Lord will work for us. Oh, you're going to go start a church in California? You're going to go try to have a soul winning machine in California? You're going to go try to preach hard in California? Well, I don't know what God's going to do in California, but I'll say this, it may be that the Lord will work for us. It may be that the Lord will come alongside us and help us. For there is, notice, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. People are always trying to tell us why we cannot. And we should always be telling ourselves that it may be that God will. It may be that God moves. It may be that God accomplishes something. And look, in your life and in my life, whatever it is it means to launch out into the deep, whatever that means, it may be the Lord will do it. It may be the Lord will do it. And we ought to, in faith, believe that God can. Keep your place right there in 1 Samuel 14. We're going to come back to it. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Go back to Luke chapter number 5. We're talking about launching out into the deep. Launching out into the deep. And look, you got to get this idea in your head. I need to do more. I need to accomplish more. I need to think big. You say, you know, Pastor, you know, I'm a middle-aged man, and I'm working this job, and I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I'm not going to be able to go start a business. I'm not going to be able to go become a carpenter. I'm not going to be able to go learn a trade. You know, whatever you're doing, why don't you decide, hey, I'm going to do something big. You say, well, I can't go start a business. I'm working for somebody. Then decide, I'm gonna do what I need to do to learn. I'm going to go up that ladder, and I'm going to launch out into the deep. I'm going to become the best worker at this business. I'm going to get the promotions. I'm going to get the supervisor position. I'm going to get the manager position. I'm going to get the district manager position. Hey, here's what I'm saying. Whatever it is, you got a business, and you say, yeah, I've got this little business, and we're doing a little bit, and we're making X amount of dollars this year. Hey, why don't you decide we're going to make twice that next year? I'm saying that as a church, you know, we've got so many soul winners. Let's increase that. We've got so many being discipled and growing. Let's increase that. Here's what I'm saying. We need to get this idea that we're going to launch on the deep. But please understand, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to do it in spite of the naysayers. Because the naysayers are going to tell you why you can't get it done. Sometimes it'll be your wife or your husband. You might have a wife like Job had. You might have a husband like Job's wife that says, why don't you just curse God and die? Listen, it may be your mom and dad. It may be people around you. They're going to tell you why you can't get it done, why it can't be accomplished, why you can't raise children like this today. Let me tell you something. If you launch out into the deep, you must do it at being inconvenienced by Christ, and you must do it in spite of the naysayers. There's always somebody who's going to tell you why you can't get it done. And I think we ought to be careful about speaking in terms of pride. We ought to be careful about saying, well, we can do. I can't tell you what I can do, but I can tell you this. I can do all things through Christ. Amen. And it may be that God will work on our behalf. Because there is no restraint to the Lord. Let me give you a third statement this morning. We must launch out into the deep by being inconvenienced. We must launch out into the deep in spite of the naysayers. Thirdly, this morning, we must launch out into the deep in accordance to the Word of God. You know that you'll never go wrong when you follow the Bible? You know that you'll never go wrong when you follow the Word of God? If you can attach a Bible verse or a biblical principle to everything you do, you will never go wrong. We must launch out into the deep in accordance to the Word of God. Notice what Peter says. Now, we beat up on Peter a little bit for being a naysayer, but at least he says this at the end. Notice verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Then he says this, nevertheless, I love these words, at thy word. He says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And you know, Peter had a little bit of a bad attitude about it. Peter had a little bit of a, I don't think you know what you're talking about. You really inconvenienced me. You're asking for a lot. You ask for this, and you ask for more, then you ask for more. But he says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. We must launch out into the deep. We must launch out into the deep in accordance to the Word of God. Find the T-books, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 4. All the T-books towards the end of the New Testament, they're all clustered together. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Timothy, Titus. And let me just say this. Don't waste your time launching out into the deep if you're not doing it at thy word. You'll fail. You'll sink. See, I never understood this idea where people say, well, you know, I know what the Bible says. The Bible says X, Y, and Z about marriage. The Bible says X, Y, and Z about parenting. The Bible says X, Y, and Z about finances. The Bible says X, Y, and Z. And I'll say, I'll do X, but not Y, maybe half a Z. It don't work that way. Look, if you're going to launch out into the deep, you better make sure you're launching out into the deep at thy word. You better make sure that you are doing what God has called you to do. And in ministry, let me just say this. You know, I believe that at thy word provides the methods for ministry. You say, Pastor Jimenez, you know, you talked about the fact that we're going to rebuild towards Family and Friend Day. Well, how are we going to do that? We're going to do it at thy word. You know, the Bible tells us the method for ministry. You say, what is it? 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 2. Preach the word. Preach the word. You know, our method in ministry is to preach the word. Whether it's from behind the pulpit, in a service setting like this, preach the word. Whether it's going out and finding a stranger and walking up to them and kindly and compassionately preaching the word and preaching the gospel to them. The method for ministry is to preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. At thy word, see, you say, Pastor, are we going to launch out into the deep? Yes, we're going to launch out into the deep, but we're going to allow the word of God to provide the method for our ministry. We're going to do it at the command of God, at the word of God. Go, you're going to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Flip back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse number 16. Not only should it be done, at thy word provides the method of ministry, but let me say this, at thy word provides the message for ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice verse 17. Why? What's the point? What's the point of all scripture providing doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness? Here's the point, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word perfect means mature, whole, complete. Thoroughly furnished means you are equipped with everything you need to be able to accomplish what God has called you to do in life. He says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Go to the book of Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews chapter 4. You're there in 2 Timothy. You're going to go past Titus, Philemon, into the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 4. Do me a favor, when you get to Hebrews, put a ribbon or a bookmark there, because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it as well. While you turn there, I'll read to you from Jeremiah 23:29. The Bible says this, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? You know that God's word is powerful? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says this, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. And let me just explain to you where we're going, and where we have been going, and where we will continue to go at Mary Baptist Church. I still believe that the word of God is powerful. I still believe that you and I can go out there with the word of God in our hands, and preach the gospel to people, and they'll get saved. Even in the state of California. I still believe that some people will get saved and they'll come to a church like this and you say, yeah, but you don't have a nice facility. And sometimes people get to say, you need a big, nice facility and you need more money. You don't have enough money and you don't have enough employees and you don't have enough workers and you don't have enough volunteers and you don't have enough this and you're in a ghetto part of town and you know, all these things. But let me tell you something. I believe even with all of that being true, I still believe that we can preach the word of God. And lives will be transformed. And people will respond. And lives will be changed. And legacies will be changed. And people will live for the glory of God. See, what we do must always be done at thy word. And if you're going to launch out into the deep, you better make sure that you're doing it at thy word. We better make sure that we're doing it at thy word. At thy word provides the methods for ministry. And at thy word provides the message for ministry. Let me give you a fourth thought. Go back to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 5, if you would. We're talking about launching out into the deep. If we launch out, look, you can't do it without being inconvenienced. Anything you do is going to be inconveniencing for God. If you're going to do it for God, it's going to be inconveniencing. We must do it in spite of the naysayers. We must do it in accordance to the Word of God. Let me say this fourthly this morning. We must launch out into the deep, and we must do it in partnership with others. Luke chapter 5, and look at verse number 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. Jesus said, I know you're the expert, Peter, but just go ahead and do it. Launch out into the deep. Let out the net for a drop. And Peter says, we've told all night, but, you know, at thy word, I'll let down a net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, notice, and their net break. And they beckoned, notice, they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ships, and they should, that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. You know that if we're going to launch out into the deep, we must do it in partnership with others? Peter could not launch out into the deep on his own. He needed another ship. He needed John and James to go out and help them. In fact, he beckoned unto their partners, which were on the other ship, that they should come and help him. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. Go to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. The truth is this, you don't live on an island. You are not an island. God created you for community. God created you to live in partnership with others. And here's the truth. If we're going to launch out into the deep, we're going to have to do it together. You need us, and we need you. And we partner together, as we live life together. And I don't want to spend too much time on it. I preached an entire sermon on it just last week when we were in the Synergy, Habit 6 of how to be a highly effective Christian. But I will say this. If we accomplish things for God, we must do it in partnership with others. Look, you need others, and others need you. Some people say, well, I don't need anybody. Okay, but somebody needs you. Somebody needs your help. You say, what is it that we need? Well, obviously, we need laborers. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37, the Bible says this, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Let me tell you something. The harvest truly is plenteous. Look, I believe you can go anywhere and get people saved. Don't let the naysayers tell you, I can't be done. When people who are always telling you why it can't be done, it's usually because they're failing at that. You can't have a marriage that's happy. You can't have a marriage that you're married for decades and you actually enjoy spending time. That can't happen. Translation, that's not happening with me, so therefore it can't happen. You can't raise kids for the glory of God in this generation. No, maybe you can't raise kids for the glory of God in this generation. And I'll tell you this, I can't raise kids for the glory of God in this generation. But me and my wife and God Almighty helping us can do anything. You can do anything with God. Hey, if God be for us, who can stand against us? I'm not here to tell you that, well, I can't fail. No, look, you are a failure. I am a failure. We are sinners that deserve hell. But with God, we can do anything. With God, we can accomplish great things. And we must attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. But we need laborers. Notice Matthew 9 and verse 37. He saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Then he says this in verse 38, pray ye therefore, Lord, the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You know what we need is laborers. He says, the problem is not with the harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. See, the problem with the harvest is not the harvest. The problem with the harvest is the laborers. And Jesus says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And this has been the prayer of Verity Baptist Church. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 14, if you would. The prayer of Verity Baptist Church is that God would send forth laborers from this place into his harvest. We need laborers. But I will say this. We need laymen. And I've heard a lot of sermons out of this passage. Launch out into the deep. And I preach sermons from this passage. Some of you have heard me preach sermons from this passage. Launching out into the deep. And the interesting thing, and I'm not against this, and I believe in this 100%, that a lot of times when you hear this passage preached, you hear people saying, hey, launch out into the deep, and it's preached in the context of some of you need to go out into full-time ministry. You know, some of you need to forsake your jobs and get trained and go out into the ministry. And look, I believe that. And I do believe that God wants people to go out into ministry, and God may be calling you into that, and praise the Lord for it. And we believe that. Over the last 10 years of ministry, Verity Baptist Church has started 5 churches, and we've trained men for the ministry, and I believe all of that. And praise the Lord for that. And I think that's a way that can be applied. But you know what? Not only do we need men to go out into the ministry, faithful men to go out and start churches, but you know what? We just need faithful men to just be faithful men at local churches as well. See, we need laborers, we need leaders, but you know, we also need what we often refer to as laymen. And if you're there in 1 Samuel 14 and verse 6, the Bible says this, but Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Here's Jonathan, the leader, saying, hey, let's go try something big. Let's accomplish something big for God. There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. It may be that the Lord will work for us. But please understand this. Jonathan didn't go out there on his own. Notice verse number 7. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Notice what he says. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. See, the truth is this. We need leaders that are willing to launch out into the deep and accomplish great things for God. But please understand this. Don't sit there and use that as an excuse and say, well, therefore I can just be on the shore, just thrust out a little. No, you know what? Leaders also need helpers to help to launch out with them. Jonathan needed an armor bearer that said, hey, I am with thee. I will go with you. I will help you. And you know, in this church, and we're actually working right now at restructuring the church. In the next several weeks, I'm going to be bringing some things to you and helping you know some things. We're actually doing some things in this ministry right now as we speak in setting up leadership and lay leaders to help in ministry to continue to do what God has called us to do. But here's what I'm telling you. Don't get this idea like launching out into the deep is just for Peter. Launching out into the deep is just, you know, it may be that the Lord will work for us. That's what pastors do. That's what evangelists do. That's what Brother Stuckey's doing. He went out into the Philippines and he launched out into the deep. Hey, yes, it's for those of us in full-time ministry, but it's for you too. Amen. You need to get involved. You say, well, I'm never going to be in leadership. Okay, but can you say, I am with thee? Can you say, I'll help you? Can you say, I will partner alongside with you? Because the truth is this, if we launch out into the deep, it must be done in partnership with others. And here's what we're saying. We are not going to use people to build this church. We're not going to do that. We've never done that, and we'll never do that as long as I'm the pastor of Verity Baptist Church. We're not going to use people to build this church, but we will use this church to build people. And the truth is this, we need you and you need us. We need you to help you, to help you get furnished in all good works, to be a perfect man, to be an upright man, to teach you what God has called you to do. And then we need you to partner alongside with us in ministry, to labor alongside with us, to catch the souls of men. Go back to the book of Luke, if you would. Luke chapter number 5. We're talking about launching out into the deep. And the truth is this, and you say, Pastor, why are you preaching this? Because as we've announced, we are taking the next several weeks to rebuild. And we will rebuild by the grace of God. And we will rebuild by the glory of, with the help of God, by the hand of God. We'll rebuild, and I'm hoping and I'm praying, and I'm not saying this is what's going to happen. I'm just telling you it may be that the Lord will work alongside, and I'm hoping that by the time we get to Family and Friend Day, by the time we get to our 10-year anniversary, we're just back at it, and we're just firing on all cylinders and accomplishing great things for God. But let me tell you something. We're not just going to rebuild. We're going to revive. We don't just want to get back onto the ship. Hey, we want to launch out into the deep. We don't just want to get back to where we were. We want to get back to where we were, and then we want to push further. Work harder. Accomplish more. Reach more people. We just put out a video this week. Go back to the book of Luke if you would, just yesterday. We have this prison ministry, this mailing ministry that really kind of landed on our laps. It just kind of started organically. And I've been, over the last several months, I've been getting letters randomly from people saying, you know, hey, you know, somebody shared with me a sermon, and they said that you send them a transcribed sermon every week, and can you send us one, and, you know, can you send me one? And we've been just waiting, getting random letters like that. And, you know, it started with sending one. I mean, with us just doing nothing, this wasn't even a thing. It wasn't a ministry. It's not like we said, we're starting this prison mailing ministry. We started with one guy who we know, we love, and sending him one transcribed sermon a week. And over the last few months, without us doing anything, now there's 10 guys all over the state of California and different parts of the country that have sent us letters saying, can we get transcribed sermons? You know, and these transcribed sermons, the ones that we're sending them are designed to really disciple. We start with salvation, and we start with basic fundamental truths, and we build up to some other things, and we make sure we throw in a psychopath reprobates and Make America Straight Again and all that in there as well. You know, and we do it. But then we got this idea, and we said, man, it's great that we got this ministry, and we're ministering to these people, and they're all kind of talking amongst themselves and spreading out. But what can we do to just launch out into the deep? I mean, it's great that we've got 10 guys that we're sending transcribed sermons every week, but would to God one day we have 20, 30, 50, 100. What if one day we had 500 prisoners just getting discipled from the preaching of Verity Baptist Church every week? You say, I don't think that's possible. Here's all I'm saying. We must launch out into deep. We must do what we are doing now, but just more of it. We must do what we are doing now, but accomplish more. Do more. Attempt more. You say, Pastor, you're kind of scaring me. Well, here's point number 5. If we launch out into the deep, we must do it. I said number 1, being inconvenienced by Christ. I said number 2, in spite of the naysayers. I said number 3, in accordance with the word of God. I said number 4, in partnership with others. But here's point number 5. If we launch out into the deep, we must do it by increasing our faith. It's really interesting, and some of you have heard me preach through this passage, and you know you've seen this in the passage already, but I want to point it out to you. In this story, we have Jesus, Luke chapter 5, verse number 2. And he says this, and I saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their, don't you notice this word? They were washing their nets. You see the S at the end of that word nets there? That's plural. Multiple nets. More than one. And he entered into the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ships. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your, notice what Jesus asked. He says, let down your nets. You see the S there at the end of that word, plural. He said, I notice you have multiple nets. And I want you to launch out your nets for a draught. He said, let down your nets. Verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. He says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the, notice this word, net. See how there's no S there? Singular. They have nets, plural. Jesus asked them to let down the nets, plural. And Peter says, tell you what, Jesus, I'll let down a net. I'll let down one net. I'm willing to go so far. And oftentimes, that's how we are as Christians. Is that true? I'm only willing to do this much. I'm only willing to, you know, God, you're asking me for all of this. I'll give you this. I'll give you Sunday. I won't give you Wednesday. You know, you got to give God every day. Every day belongs to God. I'll give you so much of my life. I'll give you so much authority in my life. I'll give you so much. Look, he says, let down the nets. And Peter says, I will let down the nets. Notice verse 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. I think God has a little bit of a sense of humor. Because he's like, okay, you want to let down the net, Peter? You want to try to argue with me? You want to try to negotiate with me, Peter? I mean, is that how we are? 10% God? How about 6? Okay. Let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. Singular. And they realized, wait, maybe Jesus was right. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. See, Jesus said, let down your net. Peter says, I'll let down a net. And then their net break, and they call and say, why don't you bring those other nets? Like Jesus asked. See, you say, what was the problem with Peter? You know, the problem with Peter is that he did not have the faith to do what God had called him to do. Jesus said, let down the nets. He says, I got enough, you know, the nets are already clean, Jesus. You understand, if we put them back out in the sea, we have to clean them again. I'll let down a net. Please understand this. Peter was not willing to do what God had called him to do because of fear. Fear fights faith. And when we are afraid, I don't know, Jesus, nets, that's kind of a lot. How about a net? You know what that is? That's fear. Jesus, come on. I'm a fisherman. You brought this whole crowd of people here. They're all here to hear you preach. And as soon as sermon is over, you turn around and said, hey, Peter, line out down into the deep and let down your nets. And I know that we're not going to catch anything because I'm the expert. And you're going to embarrass me, Jesus, in front of all these people. And oftentimes, God calls us to do something, and you know why we refuse to do it? Because we think, no, what if I fail? What if it doesn't work out? What if I'm just inconvenienced? What if I just put a bunch of time and energy and effort? I'll let down a net. But you know, Peter should have had enough faith to believe that we must expect great things from God. Now, I want you to notice, this is all connected. There's a reason why these verses are put in the way they are. Jesus teaches them a great lesson on faith here. The lesson is this. If you're going to obey the word of God, you better obey all the word of God. I mean, Peter said, at thy word, I'll let down a net. Jesus said, well, that's not exactly what I said. I said, let down the nets, plural. And I want you to notice the response. In verse 7, the Bible says this, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ship so that they began to sink. Notice verse number 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Notice this. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. See, the truth is this. Fear fights faith, and pride fuels fear. See, the response from Peter was that of humility. He fell down at Jesus' knees and he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. See, the truth is this. It is our pride that tells us that we do not want to be inconvenienced. Is that true? I don't want to be inconvenienced. Where does that come from? It comes from pride. It is our pride that tells us that we don't want to be humiliated. Jesus, you don't understand. If I launch out into the deep, if I do what you're asking me to do, and then it doesn't work out, people are going to laugh at me. And then it doesn't work out, people are going to look down at me. See, it is our pride that tells us that we know better. Jesus, I'm the expert. You're not. I'll let down a net. It is our pride. It is our pride. So what do we need? We need to be increased in faith. Go to the book of Hebrews if you would. We're almost done. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. You know why we don't accomplish great things for God? Because we have too little faith. That's the truth. We don't actually believe that God can do what he said he's going to do. So we put our eyes on ourselves and we say, well, I can't actually accomplish what God has called me to do. But see, that's the problem. While Peter was trusting on his expertise, while Peter was trusting on his experience, while Peter was trusting on what he could do, he should have been trusting in Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who's the author and finisher of our faith? It's Jesus. When you get your eyes on Jesus, your faith will increase. When you get your eyes on Jesus, your faith will grow. When you get your eyes on yourself, your pride will grow, your pride will fuel fear, and fear will kill faith. So when we're talking about launching out into the deep, Say, Pastor, you want to do more? You want to accomplish more? I mean, aren't we pretty comfortable? And look, that's what a lot of times what kills churches is the fact that they're comfortable. We got a good crowd. The bills are getting paid. You know, we're doing things and we're having nice events and we're pretty comfortable. If we try to do more and push for more and accomplish more, we're going to be inconvenienced. Look, we need to put our faith in Jesus Christ. Say, Pastor, we don't have enough people to do what you're asking, what you're wanting to do. Well, look, if we were looking at people, then you would have a point. We don't have enough money to accomplish what you're wanting to accomplish. And if we were looking at money, we ought to say, man, you have a good point. And people say, you know, we don't have enough resources. We don't have the facilities to do what you're wanting to get done here. And the truth is, if we look at our facilities, we say, that's true. But if you put your eyes on Jesus, you'll realize that with God, all things are possible. See, our faith must increase. You say, how do I increase my faith? And some of you are saying, Pastor, I understand, you know, God is speaking to me. The Holy Spirit of God is speaking to me. There's something in my life that I must launch out into deep. And God has already been telling me and already been working. But I'm afraid. Let me tell you why you're afraid. Because you got your eyes on yourself. And when you put your eyes on Jesus, He is the author, the beginning, and the finisher of our faith. Go back to Luke chapter 5 and verse 9. And while you turn there, let me just say this, and I got to finish this up. What's the deep for you? What's the deep for you? I mean, for some of you, like we've already talked, it may be becoming a scriptural tither by conviction, trusting God with your finances. That's launching out into the deep. For others of you, it may be becoming a soul winner. And for some of you, it might be just going soul winning and being a silent partner. For some of you, it might be, I've been a silent partner now for, you know, a long time, and it's time for me to start talking at the door. Look, I don't know what it is in your life, but what is launching out into deep for you? For some of you, it's, I got to start that business. And I kind of feel like I've been in this job, and I don't have anywhere else to go and anywhere else to climb. And I feel like God has been, you know, calling me to do that. Hey, then launch out into the deep if that's what God's calling you to do. For some of you, it might say, well, it's not starting a business, but I'm in this position at work, and it's comfortable, and I get paid okay, and you know, I just don't want to put in the energy or the effort to get the training or get the certification or do whatever I got to do to kind of go up above that. Here's what I'm saying. In your, whatever it is, you know, you've been considering homeschooling, you've been considering whatever it is that God has been dealing with you, I'm here to tell you, it's time to launch out into the deep. If we're going to do something for God, let's go big. If we're going to accomplish something in life, let's get all in. Let's get down into the deep. Let's just get, you know, you say, well, I just want to put my feet into the water of the Christian life. You need to jump in and launch out into the deep. And here's all I'm telling you. Here's all I'm telling you. If we launch out into the deep, we may be surprised what God does. Luke chapter 5, verse 9, we'll finish up. For he was astonished. The word astonishes me, surprise, wonder, amazement. He was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James, the son, and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were part with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Here's all I'm telling you. For some of you, it's not a thing. It's not a thing. To launch into the deep. Is that something you need to do? It's just a mental choice. Man, you've been coming to church like this, and you're kind of like, yeah, I see what you're saying. I just don't know. It's just a switch in your mind where it's like, no, I'm going to get committed. I'm actually going to do it. I'm not just going to show up and hear the preaching, but I'm going to do what the Bible says to do. And here's what I'm telling you. Here's what I'm telling you. In your individual life, when you choose to launch out into the deep, and corporately as a church, if we choose to launch out into the deep, we may be shocked at what God does and all that were with him, the Bible says, were amazed. People around you, your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, all those naysayers telling you why you shouldn't go to that church and why you shouldn't be doing that and why that's never going to work and submitting to your husband, really? You think that's going to work? Being a spiritual leadership of your home, that is so archaic. Soul winning, really? All those naysayers might be astonished at what God does in and through you, when we launch out into the deep. So I echo the call from Christ to you individually and to our church corporately. It's time for us to launch out into the deep. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the story. Lord, I pray that you would help us to, wherever, however this applies in our hearts, however this lands in our lives, Lord, I pray you'd help us to take it to heart. I believe that you're calling us to launch out into the deep, but that's going to inconvenience us. We must do it in spite of the naysayers. We must do it in accordance with your word. We must do it in partnership with other believers, and we must do it by increasing our faith. And Lord, I pray you'd help us. Wherever this lands, whether it's corporately us taking steps to do more, to accomplish more for you, or whether it's individually to take steps in our lives, to make higher commitments, to be more vulnerable by increasing our faith, Lord, I pray that you would help us to launch out into the deep. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.